Welcome to Diverse Voices Book Review. I'm Holton Hay. And as always, once a month, we have our crime fiction picks of the month with Scott Montgomery, crime fiction coordinator of Book People, Molly O'Dentz, senior editor of Crime Reads, and Amanda Moore, an aspiring crime fiction writer. So we decided to streamline how we do our crime fiction picks of the month. So moving forward, starting today, we are all going to focus on just one book. Each of us will talk about a book that really blew our socks off. And then at the end, we'll do a quick round robin of a couple of other books we may want to mention that we would recommend for your reading. So for me, my book is Secret Identity by Alex Segura. It is a love letter to the comic book industry set in 1975 at a fictional comic book company, Triumph Comics. Carmen Valdez, the protagonist, is a secretary to the owner. She is a queer Cuban American aspiring writer who's trying to get her foot in the door and is running into all kinds of barriers as she tries to figure out how she can live her dream of being a comic book writer. The story does take a look back at her time living in Miami before she moved to New York City, where the book is set. It also talks about her personal life and coming out as queer and the challenges she had with her parents accepting it, especially her mother, who was a very conservative, traditional mother, and her father, who helped her to become very excited and sort of helped her to really love comic books. So in the book, she helps a male comic book writer write a new comic book called Lethal Links. And as you would expect in 1975 comic book industry, where women were very marginalized, he fails to mention that she helped him to write the comic book. And subsequently, he is murdered. So that is my quick overview of Secret Identity by Alex Segura. It is a fantastic read. All right. Now we're going to go to Amanda Moore. Amanda.
Thank you. So my book for this month is a book called The Book of Cold Cases. You know, I bring visual aids. Okay. And the author's name is Simone St. James. And this is a really cool book. It's from Penguin Random House, right? And it was published, you know, released this month. And it's about a true crime blogger who has her website is called Book of Cold Cases. So you have continuity there. And she investigates crimes and talks about them. And one in particular she focused on was about supposed to be unique, a female serial killer. Mm-hmm. And the suspicions were that it was a woman in town who's probably from one of the richest families. And she's been living there. And everyone believed that she once committed this crime. And this woman walked into the doctor's office where this character, that's her day job, is she's a receptionist. And she looks up and she sees the person who is suspected of, you know, killing innocent people, bystanders, like on the side of the road. What this book does, it rotates on like the timeline. So you have 2017, which is, I guess, our version of the present day. And then it goes back to 1977, which is the time of the character. So you see of the other character, her name is Beth Greer. So it rotates between two perspectives and two different timelines. And what I thought was interesting is what happens when a character, right, is obsessed with a certain case and that person from that case wants to talk to you. And so she ends up trying to interview her, and she does succeed in doing that. But you also, through the novel, you see her discovering things about the story. You start to find out what really happened. So it was great. I really liked it. I thought the author did a good job with pacing. I thought that it kept suspense, and you think you have it figured out, but like many crime novels, you're never correct. And so that's my pick.
One thing that I've heard about her work, I need to read her stuff, is that I think she goes back and forth between two timelines as her specialty, right?
Okay, that makes sense. Because it's smooth. Like you don't feel like it's jarring. It's just kind of like, okay, and it has a natural break to it.
For sure.
I got a quick question for y'all on going back and forth on the timelines, because this book also, it's set in 1975, but it goes back in time to her time living in Miami and the relationship as she began to emerge as a queer woman and her relationship developing and the relationship she had with her or parents. Is that pretty common you see in the crime fiction novels? Is that pretty common to see those two timelines like Amanda mentions in hers?
Absolutely, especially because it solves one of the basic problems of plausibility in dead white people books, or like Scandinavian thrillers in particular do this, like places that have really low murder rates tend to split it between two timelines to make it more plausible, because there's no way that many people are getting killed all at the same time. That's my theory.
Interesting.
I think it also explains, we always want to know, well, some people want to know, like, why is that character that way? And I know from the book, from the one of the selections I did for last month, is a reflection of this guy is right here on death row. What happened? What went wrong? And it goes all the way back to when he was a child. And I guess it's kind of a lesson of, let's treat our children pretty well, please, because we don't want to have consequences in present day when this could have been prevented earlier. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. Scott, you had anything on the two timelines?
Yeah, and I also think too, because crime fiction a lot of times deals with point of view and different points of view and of what really happened. And this is terrible, I'm blanking on the name of the book, but one of the books that I really enjoyed that's coming out in May deals with this person who's coming back to see his mother's funeral. She committed suicide, and what really drove that suicide. And you're in like 2018 in the beginning with him trying to figure it out. But then you go back to when he was a boy in 1984, and that's done in third person, while his perspective in the more or less current time is in first person. And you're seeing kind of like what the larger picture is and how those two dovetail to when he kind of figures out what really went on, what really happened. And so there's a lot of kind of ways that's kind of used to in the multiple timelines kind of thing.
So now that this has become not a book report show, but a conversation, and thank you, Molly, for sharing that with us, we're going to go on to Scott Montgomery. Though, Molly, I am thinking at one point we may want to do a whole episode on Scandinavian novels.
I have so many opinions. Someone who would, we should ask Abby from Crime by the Book to be a guest for that. That's her specialty.
That would be very cool. So Scott Montgomery, what is your pick?
Well, I just think that's funny because I have several opinions about Scandinavian crime novels too, even though I've read very few of them. So, mine is what could be my favorite debut of the year. We'll see how it goes, but it's definitely in the running. Eli Craner's Don't Know Tough. This has been a book that's been talked about a lot in the crime fiction circles.
It's so good.
It is really wonderful. The best way I've sometimes described it is picture Friday Night Lights written by Daniel Woodrell. If you wanted to put something in a nutshell, it is a dark, dark, other than hopeful at the end sort of story around high school football in Arkansas. And the two main characters are Trent Powers, who is a local coach who kind of has been, he used to be in college and after some bad luck is kind of forced to take this job in a high school, and his star athlete, Billy Lowe, who comes from a very troubled, broken home, has a kind of a violent win at any costs attitude on the field. And it starts with Trent trying to like basically help this kid because Trent also comes from a very Christian background and feels like both God and football can save this kid. And there's a murder that happens basically the night that he tries to take this kid in, and how that goes through his family, the entire town, how it affects Billy and his family. And it's just this really wonderful way of showing this, how, particularly in a small town, how high school sports, crime, religion, and just the community, how those things are all so interconnected in
it's like the ultimate takedown of hypocrisy novel. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really well done.
Molly, Scott was concerned before we started the podcast that it was going to be the book you wanted to concentrate on. So let's go ahead and find out. Did you plan, before Scott said, I'm doing this first, did you plan to actually talk about that book?
I was going to see what you guys were talking about first. And then I was going to decide, because I did not prepare today. But I would like to go ahead and make a very strong recommendation for Kelly Garrett's Like a Sister, which just finished up its tour. Kelly Garrett is an amazing writer and an amazing crime fiction citizen. Like, she's done so much mentoring, and this is her third book. Her first two books were more along the sort of semi-raunchy, cozy line. And they were so funny. And this new one is just as funny, but with a lot more of a biting edge to it. It's about a woman who's trying to solve the murder of her estranged sister and has to go back into these dangerous, rarefied circles that she thought she was never going to be part of again, especially in terms of getting back in touch with her famous father. And it's got a lot of glamour and a lot of glitz, but a lot of grime underneath the surface. And I think it's going to be one of the most fun books you will read this year, and also one of the hardest hitting, because it really hits those highs and lows in it. Like, it's hard to capture how good of a psychological thriller it is while also still being funny.
It's funny. I asked Alex Segura in our interview about Secret Identity at the end. I said, name me a book you would recommend to the listeners. What book would you recommend? And the book he recommended was Like a Sister by Kelly Garrett.
And like, there's a lot of books out there that get into that sister relationship, but I felt like the estrangement aspect led to a lot more interesting, like, look, when the main protagonist is looking for who killed her sister. Well, first of all, she's convinced someone did kill her sister, even though her sister appears to have died of an overdose. But second of all, she's not only looking into her sister's recent past, but their shared past, and through that, her own identity. And so it's got a lot of layers to the detective search that get explored through this sisterly relationship.
Amanda, did you read Like a Sister?
I did, and I thought it was good as well. It had a lot of, you could basically see it as a movie playing in your head, because what she has is the story, and then she has these breaks in between where it's a posting on Instagram. And so you get the description of a video that her sister took online. So it's almost like when you're watching those things of a murder case, and you find the video of the person, and can you get something from that? Or is that just to let you know the type of person they were? So I thought she did a great job on that as well. And yes, Kelly Gare is really great, very supportive in the community, in the writing community. And so I thought this was a good nod to almost like a change. Like, you couldn't talk about Instagram 20 years ago, right? It didn't exist. But now readers are familiar with Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. So when you drop those things in the book, it's like makes it a lot current, more current.
Yeah. And that's part of its exploration of identity too, is that presentation of self online and how that's different from who you are under the surface, and how you never really know what's going on behind the smiling social media faces. But that also makes me think about how both Alex Segura's and Kelly Garrett's books are really inventive uses of that kind of visual medium, in that Alex Segura's has these comic book inserts, which...
love those comic book inserts. Love them.
The former bookseller in me really wants to emphasize that this is a book that you guys should buy in book format. I don't think it would look as good as an ebook. I think it would look the best as a book.
And interesting about Alex, he's in both worlds. So he was president of Archie Comics at one time. He's a comic book writer. So he's both in the crime fiction world and the comic book world. And the other thing is, Kelly and Alex are very close friends.
Cool.
and both friends of Crime Rates, where you can go to read with all of them.
But you know, Molly raised a very interesting point. So now the readers have so many different ways that they can experience a book, right? You have your audio books, you have your ebooks, and you have your of course, regular, you know, paper. Remember paper? It still exists. But for there are readers that just love a good book in your hands. And sometimes the format that's presented, you can experience it differently in that way. And I like that.
Well, the thing about audiobooks, I think I've told Molly and Scott years ago, it was an audiobooks by Adrian McKenty that brought me to reading Adrian McKenty in the paper. And so actually my membership in Audible has actually driven me to find these authors and actually interview them on the show and read them. And honestly, sometimes if you have a really good reader or actor, that really enhances the book. On the other hand, if you don't have a good reader, it takes away from the book. I'm curious, do all of you actually listen to audiobooks?
I like audiobooks nonfiction. So I like hearing, if I'm reading a bio, I like to hear the author's voice reading it. But for fiction, I prefer paper or ebook.
I don't generally have the patience for them, but I think that's because I don't do enough multitasking while listening to them, because that's who they're best for, is like they're best for when you're driving or like cooking, like I need to do, I think what I need to do is more self-care while I do that.
I'm a big audio book listener actually. And it helps me when I go to bed at night. If there are a lot of things going on, just listening to, and I do a lot of fantasy too. I started off with some crime novels. I do a lot of fantasy listening to those books while I'm trying to go to sleep. So my mind is totally on what's happening in the book. Scott has been strangely quiet.
No, the only time I do it is if I'm going on a long road trip. In general, that's really about to get, because I have a pretty short commute. So my fear is I'm going to be late to work, or I'll be sitting in front of my apartment for like 20 more minutes, like waiting for, you know, the chapter to end or something like that. So, and I also hate to admit this, but like podcasts have also kind of now pushed a little bit of the audio book out too, even on those trips occasionally. So,
yeah. Although I like to make fun of my friends who listen to like more podcasts than they read books, because a podcast is just information that's probably from a book anyway.
Except for this podcast.
Absolutely. So let's get to other books you didn't go into detail with, but that you would still recommend. And let's start with Molly.
I'm going to go with Payne Shepherd's The Cartographers. That book was really, really good and had a really, can I say batshit on here?
You can say whatever you want, but remember, we're doing the quick sort of roundabout here. Well, absolutely. Yeah,
that book is batshit weird, and it's got a lot of maps in it. So if you like maps and hidden rooms, and like the history of cartography, and also potentially fear the power of Google Maps, then go ahead and read this book.
We are officially in an adult podcast.
Yeah, we're not preceded by those church.
Yeah, we're not on radio anymore. We don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to go in and edit out the cursing. Not a problem. Scott.
I have two Private Eye novels, Hideout by Louise Luna, the latest in her Alice Vegas series, and then probably my favorite Canadian crime author right now, Sam, do I have this name pronounced right? Weeby or Wybie, is it? Molly, do you know offhand?
That's someone I email a lot, but I've never actually spoken.
That's the same thing. It's like I'm good friends with him, but we never talk to one another, so I don't know.
I can spell his name for it. So if you want to look him up, it's W-I-E-B, as in boy, E.
Yeah, and this is Hide and Seek, his latest Sam Wakeman Private Eye novel, and two of my favorite gangs or type of gangs to like deal with are Chinese tongs and biker gangs. And this is a case that puts Sam in the middle of some Chinese tongs and some biker gangs in Vancouver. So I could not resist loving this book. So.
And real quick, Scott, Ace Atkins, one of his novels features a biker gang, I believe, in.
Yes, The Born Losers is the.
Yes.
Based on, that's off of the title of one of his favorite Tom Laughlin movies. So.
And so finally, Amanda.
So I've already said, Like a Sister was my other one that I thought was cool. And bringing it back full circle, a Scandinavian, The Harbor.
So, Amanda, I love those visual props.
Have to bring the visual props. And he even has some little water drops that raise from the top. But yeah, that one's by Katrine Ingberg. And it was, I think, originally published there in, I think, 2019, but published in English here in 2022. So yeah, it's a missing person mystery. And then, of course, reveals other things.
I liked the previous one a lot, The Tenant, I think. It was really good.
The other thing, Molly, would love for you to give us an update on what can we read currently on Crime Reads.
Let me go.
By the way, audience, you didn't know that question was coming.
what have we? Oh, everyone should read this article that Allie Wilkes wrote for us about supernatural encounters in Antarctica. That article is fascinating and will give you much fodder for your dreams of exploration and or nightmares of isolation in the snowy wilderness.
Very cool. Now that reminds me of the movie The Thing, which was set, it looks like, either the North Pole or Antarctica, somewhere super, super, super cold. And one of the stars of that, what's the name of the African-American actor with the bald head that was in the Spencer series?
Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks was in that. I think Kirk Russell,
too. It wasn't Avery Brooks. It was Keith David.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a challenge to me.
I'm pretty sure it was Keith David.
Who's going to Google this on IMDb real quick? We're going to stay on this podcast till we get an answer.
I'll do it right
now. Both be wrong, but I know it wasn't Avery Brooks. I want to say this.
Once triumph in memory.
Okay.
Please, just one time.
I think you guys should plan on editing.
Do we have money on this? Okay. I see Keith David as the child's character. Is that the one?
No, not. Look for Avery Brooks. He was in The Thing. No?
He kicked the two black actors.
I lose. I'm buying Scott.
There's a T.K. Carter, but I don't think he's who you're talking about.
Scott, you people with great memories.
No, I that is my favorite horror movie. So I've watched it dozens of times. And actually, everybody like in my film school that was around, you know, there were guys that were. That was something we watched over and over again. So
I lose again.
I like the precaution of this is why climate change is so important, people, because when things start melting, things start coming out that shouldn't be coming out. So maybe the ice is there to protect us.
There is an episode of The X-Files where that happens, too.
There you go. Just saying. Art imitates life, or life imitates art.
Like, climate change is pretty noir in terms of like how bleak the future is. So maybe that's part of why we've been covering so much Arctic and Antarctic. Like anything about the polar region seems to do really well on Crime Reads. Huh. So I'm guessing it's the sort of epic adventure / amoral sublime aspect to it. Or else the fact that we're like in a time of just as much inequality as the peak of the Victorian era, which was also the peak of the exploration era.
Well, sort of like we're back in the robber baron era.
Yeah, and in terms of exploration too, because the robber barons are doing the space exploration right now.
I mean, that's where you should spend your billions of dollars, you know, self-aggrandizement. Help me, Amanda, you're the lawyer.
Self-aggrandizement.
My degree's in accounting. Okay, let's give me. All right. This has been a great episode of the Crime Fiction Picks of the Month with Scott Montgomery, Crime Fiction Coordinator of Book People, Molly Odents, the senior editor of CrimeReads.com, Amanda Moore, an aspiring crime fiction writer. And how can people catch you on social media? We'll start with you, Amanda, because you have a new addition to social media.
Yes, I have a Twitter handle now. I'm at AmoreBooks.
Go follow Amanda. We want to get her up to about 10 followers before the
week. At least. You got to start somewhere. 10 and then 10,000. There we go.
Scott?
I think we're pretty much ready about to launch the new season of Talk of the Saddle pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to that. We did a really great discussion on the proposition, Australian Westerns.
Scott is kind of silent on social media, but Molly has gotten her social media game up. Right, Molly?
Oh, yeah. My Twitter's gotten way better recently. Come for the crime fiction criticism, stay for the cat photos.
What is your social? What is your Twitter handle?
Molzotov, Molzotov. It's not a weird Russian thing because Molotov cocktails were actually originally invented to throw at the Russians. Fun fact.
I'm Hopton Hay, host of Diverse Voices Book Review. Thank you for listening to our Crime Fiction Picks of the Month. Thank you for listening to Diverse Voices Book Review. I'm Hopton Hay, host and producer. The theme music is provided by Wright Productions. You can follow the show on social media. Under Facebook and Instagram, it's Diverse Voices Book Review, or Twitter under @DiverseBooksHay.